This is I Did Not Sign Up For This, a bi-weekly show featuring two queer couples. We are U-hauling our friendship and inviting you to join us. I'm Amy, and I'm joined by my partner, love of my life, Sam, as well as Lindsay and Carling. Say, hey, gays.
Hey.
If you're enjoying the show and want more episodes, join us over on Patreon, where you'll get instant access to the back catalog, entries into giveaways, and so much more. This week, we're talking about pranks. Who's doing them? Do you like them? And what makes a good prank?
Smile. You're on candid camera.
Man, so many years, hours wasted on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I'd say invested, honestly.
Yeah, it's just true. Like watching YouTube now.
Yeah, it's made us who we are.
Like, honestly, I wanted to be caught on candid camera so badly.
Kind of like the kiss cam at the hockey game today.
That's also a life goal, but it's never going to happen because we're gay.
I know. Oh, the kiss cam's up.
And it just pans.
Yeah, exactly.
Past you. Or like you'll end up on it with your brother or something.
Yeah, the person next to you.
You're there with us. Yeah.
Yeah.
The stranger that's next to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Carling, you said that you were excited to talk about a prank that you just did.
Well, it was like a mean thing.
No, it was so funny. It was like, it was off the cuff.
Yeah.
We made chocolate chip cookies, but we didn't have brown sugar. And I told Lindsay that you can make brown sugar by using molasses and white sugar. She didn't believe me, but we did it. And the cookies came out and they looked so beautiful. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to test one. I'm going to take a bite. And as I took a bite, she was watching me and I just started spitting it back into my hand. And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, just kidding. It's delicious. I don't know if that's like a prank, but I thought it was
just
very
being
funny.
A mean girlfriend. Excellent.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So what would you consider a prank?
Yeah. I guess that's really the crux of it.
Yeah. Is there like an official definition?
Yeah. So I was looking into it and the word prank, there's a huge variety of ways that you can do it. They can be mean or lighthearted in spirit. So it's kind of up to the prankster to decide. Samantha, can you go get whatever it is?
It's fine.
What was it?
It's my headphone. It's fine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, see, it's missing.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to hear half of us.
No, it's good. Please continue.
No, it's distracting now.
It's right here.
I'm going to be thinking about it the whole time if you don't get it.
Okay. All right. Just let me. I'm so sorry.
So according to the dictionary.
Love the dictionary.
Love it.
It's a great book. A prank is a practical joke or mischievous act.
I feel like
it's very broad. That's what I did.
Yeah. I feel like bad cookie is a prank. So
classic.
I think it has to be done. Not in a mean-spirited way.
Yeah, so listeners at home, pull bad cookie on your loved ones and see what happens. Let us know. Does the bad cookie prank pass muster?
Yeah, so I was watching for strictly research, just for laugh gags.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It is pretty funny. But then, like, some of the pranks, they don't resonate with me, and I get really uncomfortable. So then I think everybody kind of has their own idea as to what makes a good prank and a bad prank. Like, for example, there's one that I saw where they stained somebody wearing white shorts so that it had brown in the middle. And then they played a fart sound when they bent over at the grocery store to pick something up. And then they look and then they see a brown stain on the white shorts.
You're saying that did resonate with you?
It did not. Mm. I did not like that.
And sorry, was the person aware that they had a brown?
Yeah. So the person
so they
wearing
were
the,
in on
so,
it.
Yes.
Yeah. So the prank is on the general public.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I think that one's okay. That's funny.
But it's like someone, someone just pooped themselves in a place where there's food like that. I don't know why that's separate.
Yeah.
This is we're going to get into the real minutia here of what.
Yeah.
What's funny. But
yeah.
But let's talk about some of the pranks that we've done ourselves.
Are you two pranksters?
I grew up in a family of six kids with very minimal parental guidance. So this is how we interacted with one another was to just...
Yeah, which is very different than the way I grew up, which makes our relationship really funny.
Sometimes.
Because Sometimes. Yeah. So as kids, Amy and her siblings would scare each other.
Yeah.
Right? Hide behind a corner.
Yeah.
And she thinks that's hilarious.
Top notch. Yeah. That's my favorite thing to do.
Just scaring people, children, the elderly. She's all of it. It's funny.
I did the older, the better. Yeah. Exactly.
I did make Frankie cry.
The more frail their heart, the better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we didn't do that at all in my house because it was just my sister and I. And she, like, we just never did that. We never scared each other. So when we started dating, Amy would think it was so funny because I just, I just can't handle being scared. And this one time I walked into our little apartment and I heard the TV shut off. And I was like, oh, no, it's happening. And I was just at the grocery store. So I had a 4 liter of milk and I was going to use it as a weapon. And I'm walking down the front hallway like, where are you? Just like shaking, waiting for her to hop out. And then I look and she's sitting on the couch like, what the hell are you doing with the milk? You had me trained that you were going to hop out.
The best prank is where you don't even prank at all.
Yeah.
My brother and I scared each other all the time, actually, now that we're talking about that. I guess I didn't put that in the category of pranks.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Is that, does that meet the qualifications?
I think it does. For me, I like something where it's really quick. It's not dreadfully embarrassing and it doesn't cause harm. And so having a quick surprise and then they're scared for a moment and then they're like, oh, thank you for that. Right. It's just a really quick in and out. And I appreciate that. Yeah.
I do that to the kids sometimes. I'll call them upstairs like I'm going to get mad at them, but it's actually something funny.
Ah, yes.
Which my mom used to do to me.
Yeah. Mental game.
You have trust issues today. Yeah. And that is why I have trust issues. I specifically remember when we moved to Calgary in August of 1996. And so I was like 14 and my dog, Popcorn, couldn't go on an airplane because she was too old. But also, why wasn't leaving her behind? Screw that. My dad had just died and we're moving across the country. We're not leaving my dog. So my grandparents drove her to our home in Calgary from Ontario,
which is 5 days away of driving.
Yeah. And then I remember when they pulled up, I was in the basement and my mom called me up and she was like, Lindsay Ann Mallory, get up here right now. And I was like, oh. And she was holding Popcorn. And I was like,
oh, that's nice.
Also, that's burned in my brain.
Yeah, you gotta take that.
She scared me.
Mental, that mental game, package it up and hand it to your children.
I remember I was a theater kid in high school, super nerd. And we did a performance of My Fair Lady and we would play pranks to try and get the characters, like the actors, to crack.
Right.
So I was like part of the chorus. And so we were like, what do you call that when you're in the background and you're supposed to be engaging in a conversation, but you're actually just mouthing words.
Watermelon. Yeah.
And we would just say the most atrocious. Not fake acting, but like we were a background performer.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. And so we were just supposed to look like we were having casual conversations and we would say some of the most atrocious things to try and get the people who we were around to laugh. Mm-hmm. Or they put pepper in the marbles of, there's a scene in My Fair Lady where they put marbles in their mouth.
Oh, man.
And somebody put like pepper in them. So they put them in their mouth. And they were like spicy.
Spicy marbles, another classic prank.
That's really fun. That spicy marbles in the mouth. That's how I got the nickname, the good old spicy marbles.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good.
This is like a crude prank. I'm just remembering that happened to me. I used to work at a grocery store. It was like my first job after high school. So full-time job. And we did home delivery shopping. And so this is well before COVID. It was one of the only places in the city that was doing it. It was $5 delivery anywhere within the city limits.
Well,
people would phone their grocery orders in and I would write them down on carbon paper. So I had the copy and then I'd send them a copy. But anyways, I was also a cashier. So I would be out like in the store shopping an order and then it would get busy at the front. And so I'd get Paige to come to the front to work a till for a little bit. And then I just ditched my cart in an aisle and then I would go back and find it a little bit later. There was people that I worked with and boys, and they would take the cart and either A, hide it on me, or they would put things in it that were like lewd. Like they would put like a cucumber and Vaseline in it. Or we sold this like paper. It was like Knorr, like powdered soup, but it was called cock soup. And they would put 12 packages of it in my shopping cart and then just leave it.
It was funny. It was funny back then.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I'd come back to a shopping cart full of cock soup.
Nice. Cock soup and cucumbers. I've got a lot of work prank stories because I work with mostly men. Uh-huh. And it's just like a part of the culture. So at my last job, we went on our honeymoon. And one of my good friends there, he took a whole ream of paper, so 500 pieces of paper, and he went through, he made them look kind of askew, like they were actual work. And then he started putting the flags that our boss used to show problems. You have to come talk to me about this. Big stressful problems. He just littered this whole ream of paper with probably 100 notes and then stuck real paperwork on top. And it like, it freaked me out. It was a very particular prank, right? Okay. It was tailored for me. So then I tailored a prank back for him. This is also pre-COVID. It would have been like 2014, 15. He used hand sanitizer a lot anytime he went in or out of his office. So I took his hand sanitizer and I replaced it with lube.
That doesn't evaporate in the air.
No. And it took him probably 2 to 3 months of using this stuff to actually say something. He's like, man, the hand sanitizer has been really weird lately. Funny story.
Yeah. Well, my hands have never been so lubricated.
Exactly. Yeah.
Soft.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. That's funny. Then at my new place of work, they basically haze anybody that comes into the office. And so I didn't get hazed, I think, because they were scared of me. But one of the guys that's there, they put a speaker, because we make wireless speakers, in the drop ceiling above him and very quietly played the sound of someone being tortured. Just the fake screams.
Oh my God.
And they would play it throughout the day at random points. But the issue is that gentleman has really high anxiety and wasn't who was going to say something. So that's the opposite of a well-tailored prank. Yeah. I feel
like that's a well-tailored prank, but not well-received.
Yeah, but you have to know the person, right? Yeah. My friend knew that this stack of paper that was going to drive me over the edge. And then we had one of the managers went on holiday, and we took, because we also used to build video game controllers, we have these things called shock motors. It's an electric motor with a weight on one side. It's the thing that makes your game controller vibrate. So we have them all over the office, and somebody made a plate of them, probably like 40 of these shock motors all on one plate. And we put it inside his heating vent, and I attached our Christmas tree light remote so you could turn it on and off. And then we also attached a beeper that was wired the way above his desk. So we'd be on calls. We'd be on Zoom calls together. And you just hear this, what was that? And he just lose his mind in the middle of the call. And we set it off on the calls specifically until he tore his entire office apart to figure it out. It sounded like someone was using an electric drill on the other side of the wall, but only at the worst parts of the day. Yeah. Very inconvenient. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. So the guys are fun. They don't always make the most well tailored. They're very like off the cuff. And I find that I can more like refine them into like.
You're the evil genius.
I'm the one who put the remote on the shock motors, right? Yeah. It made it a long lasting prank because he didn't find it for about 2 weeks.
Yeah. I just unlocked a memory that is so embarrassing.
Congratulations.
I don't know what you said that triggered it in my brain, but when I was in grade, I would have had to be like 4, 5, 6. I would have friends come over for a sleepover. And I remember working with one of my friends, and the prank was going to be, it like makes no sense now. We were going to, after the two of the four fell asleep, me and this friend would wake them up, but make them believe that they were part of, like they had gone back in time. And we had this well thought out, like elaborate plan, but now looking at it through the lens of a 40-year-old, like where are we going to get the costumes? How are we going to turn a 1995 bedroom into an old timey cabin?
Acting. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
The power
and
of acting.
The lights real dim.
That's really fun. That is really funny.
Yeah. When I worked at the zoo, I also just had this unlock while you were talking, Sam.
Congratulations.
When I worked at the zoo.
I worked in the catering department and I was in the kitchen. And the smaller events, I didn't have to stick around for. And so I would deliver the food, set it all up, and then go back to the main kitchen and like do prep for other things. And then the front of house staff would call me when the event was over, when it was ready to get picked up. I was pretty new. I was probably only been there for a month or two. And this girl called me. So I like answer the phone. And the first words out of her mouth were like, oh, my God, I don't know what's happening. Everybody just started throwing up. And I was like, what? And she was like, no, I'm just kidding. You can come pick up your, see your thing now. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it just shocked me for that moment.
That's really cool. Are you going to talk about Christy?
I will. But first, I want to talk about what some of our followers said that they have done for pranks.
Right. Right. So we put it on Instagram and Facebook. And some people commented.
Yeah. One person said, I co-pranked my sister with my mother for 7 years about the fact that she was definitely an Olympic pole vaulter.
That's funny. That's a long con.
That is a long con. No kidding. When our nieces were first born, I wanted to convince them that like when you get like flaked canned ham, that it was called jambon.
But... Yeah. So when they were little, we called it jambon, and now we call it jambon.
We just
that's really the backfiring.
Another person said it's not an elaborate prank. Right after my hubby and I watched a scary movie about paranormal activity, I put on a white hoodie backwards, pulled the hood over my face, and ran screaming into the basement. When my husband was down there alone, he freaked out at the ghostly, faceless, shrieking blob running at him. It was simple but effective.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta go basic.
Somebody else said that they do an annual April Fool's joke where they, every year, they're saying that they're making some dramatic life change and people always fall for it. Says, I'll run into people a few months after the fact and they get very confused because they thought that it was real. And then another person said that I worked in an office and one woman complained all the time about the bathroom and people making it smell and not cleaning up after themselves. I melted a bunch of chocolate and splattered it all over the toilet bowl, the seat, the wall behind the toilet, all of it. She came out of the bathroom screaming and we all laughed. It was hilarious.
I used to work at a shop where you didn't have to do that with the chocolate.
What about the ones where this one really grinds my gears? It's been real big on TikTok where it'll be like a wedding video, a heterosexual wedding video, and it's the groom that will put cake in the face of the bride, even if she's like, no, no, don't.
Like, is that a prank? I just think that's stupid.
Like
me.
Oh, yeah. So is that a prank? Like, why did you guys do that? Find it
did
funny?
Did you guys jam cake in each other's faces?
Yeah, I did it.
Sam did it.
I didn't push it. Went up my nose.
I would have asked for an annulment immediately.
Is it too late? Don't file the paperwork.
Like, we're getting married in the woods.
If you do that.
You could have just.
I mean, it was like a camping adventure wedding because we eloped. Which was lovely. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. But I did feel betrayed. I was not expecting it.
Yeah, there's a good picture of you being disgusted with me.
I was not happy.
Happy marriage.
But I wasn't super mad. I should have saw it coming.
Yeah. I thought you were going to do it.
I didn't.
It's only because I got there first. That's why. We've just unlocked something here.
Pranking has been a big part of my childhood growing up. It's just something that we've always done. So one time, this was a double prank. So it was an uncle and myself and my opa. He said, I can hypnotize you. And I had always wanted to be hypnotized. I want to get hypnotized. Let's see if this will happen. Okay, he says, let me get my supplies. So he goes away and he comes back with two plates. And we have to hold on to the plate. He goes, okay, take your hands, take one finger, circle it around the bottom rim of the plate three times. Okay. He goes, look right at me. Go, okay. He goes, now rub your finger on your face. And you go, okay. So you like make a circle around your face in the motion. And then he keeps doing it. Okay. Rub your finger around five times. Go down your nose, touch your chin.
Yeah. And what then on the plate.
There was soot on the plate. They held it above a candle.
Oh no.
So then you just have soot all over your face. And I'm like,
Good one, Dad.
Good one. Good one, Opa. Oh, way to go.
We never ended up hypnotized.
Not hypnotized. I felt a little ripped off. But my sister, she was very good at making elaborate pranks. She used to work at a restaurant with another sister of mine. So I'm talking about Christy, the sister who passed, and she's far too clever and used that sometimes for evil. So one time one of her coworkers was parked at the restaurant and she got his keys, went in and rolled down his window while he was off doing something. And she had collected broken glass from a friend who did auto body and sprinkled broken glass inside the seat of the car.
Oh no!
And locked it back up. I'm like, oh no, your window is broken. And he was so upset. Great. My window smashed.
Middle of winter.
Yeah. And he taped it up and drove with the...
He didn't even test it?
No. Why would you?
I get it. Yes. Why would you?
Yeah. So he drove with cardboard on his window for quite some time.
Until he took it to an auto body shop, didn't he?
And I then think
they,
so.
They pressed or they wound it up.
Yeah. And they rolled his window back up.
Oh,
and they're like,
my
funny.
God.
Yeah. So...
But didn't she get locked in a cooler?
Yeah, so my sister, she did. So my sister had a fear of like underwater crustaceans. I guess all crustaceans are probably underwater.
I was just about to say, what's an above water crustacean?
Crustaceans. She thinks they look like bugs. And so because they were a fancy fine dining restaurant, they threw her in the cooler and put lobsters on the floor and shut it.
Oh, no.
She had it coming. But like everybody, this was something that we just did all summer long when we would have big cousin get-togethers. My older cousins, this was back in the day when you didn't have the hose, the spray nozzle on the sink part itself. You had a separate spray nozzle.
Yeah.
Gotta tape that handle down.
Then they taped it down so that as soon as you turn the water on, you get sprayed. My cousin would take saran wrap and put it on the toilet bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the seat, but it didn't like you could see the ripples. But the trick is if you get a hot blow dryer,
yeah, right.
It smooths it out.
Yeah. Giving you all the hot tips.
Yeah,
I know Wyatt always talks about doing that one, and I just keep he's enough all over the place.
Doesn't need assistance. Not funny. Doesn't need assistance.
I prefer not to have pee all over the floor. So again, we come back to what makes a good prank.
Yeah.
I think. It depends on who the pranky is and who the pranker is and what the outcome is going to be. Like, it's okay if it causes them a bit of distress, but are they going to think it's funny once all is revealed?
Yeah, in hindsight. Mm-hmm.
In hindsight.
Yeah.
Would you guys say that a surprise party is a prank? Or
I think it could be.
A guest to your party is a prank?
Are you trying to reveal something? Are you at our front door?
No, but you guys came to Calgary and surprised Carling for her birthday. Is that a prank? Or is that...
That's interesting.
I mean, I think
I don't
it
think
is
it's
mischievous.
A prank because you didn't... It's yeah, it's mischievous. I was about to say because a prank should have an element of you fooled me into thinking one thing.
I mean, Lindsay did that.
It's true, yeah.
But like that's a prank for good.
Yeah, right. We're really
so
good. We're in the weeds.
Are pranks for bad? I'm confused.
I mean, that's the question, right? Again, like for me, there definitely needs to be an element of surprise for sure. Mm-hmm. I think the part is that it's not a joke when it comes to a surprise party because there's like that joking element. So perhaps that disqualifies it from being a prank because it's not a joke.
Like it would have been a prank if you guys showed up and then left 10 minutes later?
Yes. Now you're getting it.
Bye.
Or what about when we watched that? It's like it's on Discovery and it was on Investigative Discovery and it was like murder.
Evil Lives Here.
Oh, Evil
I know
lives
exactly
here.
What you're about to talk about.
It's like a show, Evil Lives Here, and they interview real families about like somebody who was so evil that either lived with them or the neighbor. It's like Fear Thy Neighbor, Evil Lives Here, all of those. Mm-hmm. And then they have very
poorly done
budgeted reenactments. And there was one where it was a stepson and a stepmother. And the stepson hated the stepmother. And so he put
bleach or antifreeze, something toxic in her
Coca-Cola.
It was Coca-Cola.
And so she was doing yard work and he was like, can I get you a drink? And she's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind like a cola. And so he brought it out and she drank it and realized it was poison. And he's like, it was just a prank.
Just a prank.
Just a joke. It was like a lethal dose of
antifreeze.
Antifreeze or yeah, something.
But yeah, in the show, he was quoted as, it's just a prank.
Yeah.
And we're like, which is now actually a ongoing joke between me and you.
And what did the law say about that?
Yeah, he did go to jail.
Yeah, it wasn't a prank.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Disclaimer, wasn't so full disclaimer to the listeners.
Yeah.
Not yeah, actually that's not a prank. We do not condone the poisoning of your stepmother or stepson.
Okay, but have you
for
seen
for legal reasons.
not a prank.
Not a prank.
Not a prank.
We're going to have our legal team review this episode and be like, you can't say that.
The legal team.
How do you feel about those TikTok trends where people prank their children by doing different things?
Ooh,
I know.
Like the Jimmy Kimmel one every Halloween.
Say that you ate all their candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, again, you need to know the kid, because I think you could do it to Olivia and we would laugh about it later.
Why it would cry.
Why it would not see the humor in it and would be hurt by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being on the receiving end of a prank would be really hurtful to him.
Right.
Yeah. Like even my cousin, like just like trying to give him a hard time. I was going to say joshing him, but what does that even mean?
Good joshing.
Joshing, yeah.
Next week's episode, we're going to dive into the etymology of joshing.
Yeah. Yeah, like my cousin would always make fun of Wyatt for wearing a Calgary Flames hat when we were in Ontario. And they're all Toronto Maple Leaf fans. And Wyatt can't take a joke like that. And so he cried, is it racist?
Oh no, is joshing racist?
Just joshing you came from the late 1800s and has an interesting story behind it. Josh Tatum was a deaf mute, but a very enterprising young man from the Midwest.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Can't say that.
Oh no.
Okay, so
clap. Yeah. Make it so that they're editing this part.
No, listen.
I know.
On this podcast, we do our best until we know better and then we do better.
Okay, fair.
That's right.
Anyways, my cousin would make fun of him and give him a hard time about like his hockey team, and he would just burst into tears.
Yeah,
that's sensitive.
So I think that's reasonable. Like you have to know the person, right?
On top of that, a lot of times children aren't mentally capable of understanding the nuance of sarcasm and practical jokes. It's all very real and very literal. We don't use sarcasm with our kids at all.
No.
Yeah, I've started to a lot with my daughter who's 13.
Yeah.
Oh, she's like, the queen of sarcasm.
And she's now this is where I knew I could do it, is because now she is that way.
Right.
And so now I know that I can like, there's lots of, we always say, she'll be like, oh, something. And I'll be like, your face is ugly or something. Like just joking around. And she'll be like, well, you made my face. And I'm like, oh.
Touché.
Yeah.
All right then.
10 points to you, madam.
My match.
But it took a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was playing Quirkle with Frankie tonight and she looks at me because I was having I was taking my time because she was beating me so badly. And she goes,
you okay over there?
Yeah. Okay then. A competitor.
But just given like how young, I mean, it depends on the age of the person that you're pranking for sure. But there was one that was super controversial for a while on TikTok where the parent expresses an interest in cooking or baking with the child.
Oh, and then you
smash the egg on the kid's forehead instead of cracking it on the table.
I wanted to do it to Wyatt.
I know people would have cried.
Would cry, so
Well, and that's the thing. I think some of the kids found it funny and they were like, why would you do that? And they laughed, but some didn't. And I just have to wonder, did the parents who got the negative outcome, did they know and they thought that that negative reaction would get them more views or did they not know? You know, like, I just think.
I thought the funniest reactions were the kids who turned around and either smacked an egg right back in their face or for the bowl on the floor or something like.
Yeah, I'm like,
just because, you deserve it.
Yeah, I'm already turned off by the fact that they have their kids in their social media videos. I'm just like, nope. No, 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 no. I don't want that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Sam's very protective.
Go prank an old man. Can foip his way into this world.
One of my favorite trends that I've seen on TikTok lately is people pranking their dogs.
Yes, that's funny.
Hiding on your dog is funny.
There's that one. So like the classic blanket, and then you drop the blanket and you disappear. And the dog's like, where did they go? They vanished. Yeah. But there's one. There's this song where it's, I think I love this little life.
Yes. Yeah.
And they,
you say it loud.
You say it loud and scare the dogs. And it's, yeah, it's a good one. That very entertaining.
Olivia keeps trying to scare us with that one, but she's not successful.
Mm. Yeah, because we're on TikTok.
She,
we know.
Does it really fast in my face. And I'm just like,
slap.
What about the one I'm risking saying it here on the pod because I want to do it.
No, don't say it. Because I want to do it. And who knows who we're going to do it to.
I feel targeted.
Like, we could do it to the people we were talking about originally. And I don't know if they listen.
Well, you're going to find out.
No.
It's okay. Sam and I have already talked about pranking you guys. So,
yeah. Well, then.
My God.
I know.
Lips are sealed.
Stay tuned.
I feel like we could talk about it and choose somebody to prank that wouldn't be listening to this.
That's what I mean. There are the secondary people that we chose.
Yeah.
I don't want to say their names in case they do
just
listen.
Just in case they do.
Yeah.
So there was a prank going around this Christmas I saw on TikTok, and adult children were sending a letter to their parents.
Like a Christmas card.
Like a Christmas card with a life update. So one of them had a gift card, but it was from a fake couple.
Right.
It was like from Jan and Tim. And then they would film the parents reading it. And they'd be like, oh, Jan and Tim sent us a gift card to Costco because they know we really have been enjoying their whatever. And they hope we're doing well. And they mentioned something about the kids. So they know there's a rest. And the parents are
like, the dad, the one that the video we watched of the dad is so funny. Stick to his own wife. He's like, Carol, do you remember Susan and Tim?
Really? Or Jan and Tim?
Yeah. Yeah, and really she's funny. Like, no. And they're like, do you think it's who we bought the house from? Well, that seems weird. How would they know about the kids? And they're so perplexed by it.
But like, long game, you got to do it every Christmas.
Right.
For years.
Or every holiday, at least for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny. And it's so harmless.
Yeah.
Because
you're like
it's so harmless.
Giving them a gift.
I've seen another one at Christmas time where a family will go to somebody's house throughout the year and they will steal a trinket or an item from that person's house.
Yes.
Right. And then use it as the gift swap item.
Yes.
Right. So this past Christmas, I couldn't think of what to get my niece, so my sister's daughter, for Christmas. She's 10. And so she's in this like wonderful little zone. She loves her mom, but she also loves being mischievous. So I got her 100 ducks, those little teeny,
tiny
ducks. And I gave her an instruction, like I gave her a little bag and I gave her instructions that said, these ducks are to help you show your mom that you're thinking of her. So I was talking to her last night on the phone and I said, I need just an update. How are we doing with the ducks? Because it's February now. She said before she had a sleepover, they were all collected. After the sleepover, she found ducks in her ground coffee in the butter dish under the cap of her hairspray. God. There was like in the arch of her shoe. She's also added to the ritual, rickrolling my sister with ducks. So whenever has her laptop open, her daughter will Google pictures of ducks and just leave it on her desktop. And then like in multiple apps deep. Like, she'll have it in a Skype message in all of her Google apps. Yeah, it's so funny. And so she's really gotten into it. So I'm going to pay for that at some point. But it was the best $15 gift I think I've ever bought.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. I get just pictures.
100 times.
I get pictures of these ducks in horrible places. That's amazing.
My cousin is younger than me and she's an only child, so she's been like, oh, you guys met her, Nikki and Mike from Winnipeg, and I never got the opportunity to be a big sister, and she didn't have any siblings, so we would spend every summer together from the age that I since I was 8 until I don't know, we were adults. I used to torment her. I was so mean. I would wait until we were like close to the car, for example, but I was a little bit closer. And I'd be like, first one to the car is the best. And I'd run ahead faster and touch it. And she would get so mad. And then I don't even know how it started, but I started doing this thing. I'll try to explain it because we're not visual, but like I would mime holding a giant mixing bowl and stirring something with my hand. It would be the symbol that we would use for I'm opening a can of whoop ass on her. Sometimes if like I would wait until an adult wasn't looking and I would do a little tiny one, like I would just open a little can of whoop ass. And she would get so mad. And now we'll just do it like we'll just be at a restaurant or somewhere, whatever we're doing. And I'll just look across and she'll just be opening a little can of whoop ass.
Didn't one of you leave tiny little whoop asses all over?
So then for my birthday this year, she surprised me coming from Winnipeg and got me this funny drink tumbler, like a coffee cup. And it's a can of whoop ass. And then when our grandparents passed away, she actually bought, her and her husband bought their house. It was kind of a weird transition. While we were emptying out their house, we knew some things were staying in the house because Nikki and Mike were going to stay in there and they were happy to use it. And I printed out, I think, at least 100 little cans, various sizes of whoop asses on color paper. And then I went through while we were emptying the house and I hid it. You know, when you go into a closet, there's sometimes they have boards on the inside that you can like, or like on the shelf, and I would tuck it between the shelf and the wall.
Yeah.
So just a little piece of it was sticking out. I put one in the freezer. I put them under literally like everywhere. And to this day, it's been something like 6 years and they're still finding little cans of whoop ass throughout the house. But I didn't write down where I put them. So I don't know. Maybe you found them all. Maybe you didn't. We'll never know.
Under a floorboard, behind wallpaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
That's funny.
Yeah. I like when people leave things when they do renos. I think that's fun. So if you're putting up a mirror or something, and then there's lots of ways of doing it.
Yeah. Put some.
My cottage was built by my great grandparents. We just did a renovation on it maybe 3 years ago, and they removed a wall and they found my great grandpa's signature. He scrolled it really big on one of the walls.
That's fun.
And so we like all took a picture of it and then had to cover it back up again.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it's so cool. My mom lived in this house in Calgary and we renovated it. And there was like a really old, you remember in like the 90s, you'd have the clock in your kitchen, but sometimes it had the wooden, almost like octagonal, I don't know, outline around it. They were just like really old and from the 90s. And so it got taken down. My mom hid it in our friends Tracy and Andrew's house. And so it was one of those gifts. It went back and forth and back and forth. And somebody would go on vacation and it would end up back in their house again. It finally came to an end somehow. I can't remember how it finally came to an end, but it stopped happening. And then the very last prank, my stepdad is obsessed with John Wayne. They somehow ended up with a life-size cardboard cutout of John Wayne. So I think Tracy and Andrew, their friends Tracy and Andrew, got it and they left it while my mom and Wayne were on vacation. They left it at the end of their hallway by their bedroom. So like they came home and opened their front door and there was a cardboard cutout of John Wayne.
Man.
But like also looked like a person was in their home.
Yeah. that's so good.
So my sister Christy, that just reminded me, my dad and his wife would go out on cruises and they booked themselves to go out on 14-day cruises. So the way my sister decided to get back at them was to take the house in April and decorate it from head to toe in all of the Christmas decorations. And then she bought a fruit cake and then used that as the garage hanging measuring point.
Oh, yeah.
It stayed up for probably a solid year, actually. And the best part was that my dad really enjoys collecting nutcrackers. And so he has a 4-foot nutcracker. My stepmother is very easily scared. And she put that in their main bathroom shower.
Their
ensuite shower.
Behind the curtain.
There wasn't a curtain. It was just one of the open and closed doors.
No.
And so she would walk. Yeah. It just looks like some.
That's funny.
Figure. But you know what would be the best prank of all? This is an excellent prank because we're going to. I would love for all of us, including the listeners, to prank for good. To prank for good. So you said you have a good friend, Marie, whose daughter got like this awesome opportunity. Can you explain more about that awesome opportunity?
Yes. So my friend Marie's daughter is in high school, is super into theater and music. So she ended up auditioning this past like fall for a Broadway theater intensive summer program and ended up getting it. And so she was offered a once in a lifetime opportunity to attend the prestigious Open Jar Institute Broadway intensive program this summer, so 2024. And so they are trying to raise money to get her there for this incredible program this summer. She's going to literally be in New York on Broadway with directors and actors and producers and choreographers and all of that, getting this incredible experience.
That's huge. And how much does she needs to raise? $7,000 in order to go, which is like a huge amount of money for anyone at this point in time.
Yeah.
And I think it would be the best, most wonderful prank if everybody could rush over and donate just like 10 bucks, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a huge amount.
Yeah.
But like the more people who can do that, she's going to wake up and find that she's able to go to Broadway. That is the best kind of, but you don't have
pranked.
To take it away.
You got
good pranked.
You got punked.
Yeah. And if there's a spot to put a comment, just write pranked.
That would be so good.
Yeah, she's such a cool kid. I have known her since she was born, basically. And, you know, I guess I'm at the age now where I know people who are 16, 15, 16, 17, and I've known them since they were babies. It feels like, oh, I guess I'm a grown up then. But yeah, it's been so cool to watch her kind of come into herself. She has come out as a lesbian and is so active in her community and is super into guitar and singing and theater and performing.
Like, those auditions are so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she obviously has a lot of talent and I want to see her on Broadway. And then you can be like, I know her. And then live vicariously through her.
Yeah. So we'll put a link to the fundraiser in the show notes, presumably.
Yeah, show notes. I'll put it on
socials.
Instagram, socials, Facebook.
Get Millie to New York.
And comment pranked.
Yeah. Pranked. I'll tell her moms. I'll be like, listen, if you see this comment, this is what this episode
you got
is.
Pranked. Good pranked.
Yeah.
Next time we meet and I get to host, have the pleasure of hosting, I want to hear about everybody's dreams. So,
like, literally dreams?
Like, actual dreams. Do you have any recurring
not like our,
dreams?
Not like our hopes and dreams?
Not hopes and dreams. I mean, you could throw those okay. in there, too. But I'm talking about recurring dreams or themes or odd or memorable strange dreams that kind of just stick out. We'll explore what do they mean? Or have you ever had a dream about somebody who's not your partner and how do we feel about that?
Excuse me.
These are the things we want to talk about. So,
interesting.
That's what I want to talk about are our dreams.
Fun oh, yeah. episode. We do have an outro. Get you the outro.
Do we have an official
Well,
outro?
I have it. I have the one that you put in. You put it on the Google.
Did I do that?
You did.
Outro script?
Outro.
Sometimes I surprise myself.
Here, we'll pull it up on here.
Look at me doing things.
Like I'm trying to be like
official,
organized.
Like past Carling did something pretty cool. And sometimes in the moment Carling did not realize.
We hope you enjoyed diving into this episode with us. Want access to exclusive content and giveaways while supporting the work that we do? Join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/I did not sign up for this. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And hey, if you're feeling generous, leave us a review. It really helps us grow and improve. We love hearing from you, so connect with us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Share your thoughts, suggestions, or just say, hey, we always appreciate it. Thank you for spending this time with us. We appreciate your support. And until next time, have a great week.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap.